Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes. We'll be recapping the Redskins game yesterday as the Giants fell 20-14 at FedEx Field. We'll get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. And we want to remind fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. So a lot certainly to delve into. And Jeff, 17-0 through three quarters. The Redskins clearly set the tone. The Giants' offense came alive late, but there were a number of issues throughout the course of this game. They couldn't run the football. Obviously, pass protection in terms of Eli Manning being sacked three times, and no takeaways, which has been such an important concept to set the tone throughout the course of this season.
Well, this team, we have been hearing all season about let's finish. Well, this team never got started, really, when you think about what you just said. And, it comes down to those items that you just mentioned. And more importantly, they had a chance in the second half, and their valiant effort, as Coach Coughlin was proud of them for their effort at the end. And but to have, you know, everything just kind of laid out there for you, you know, what this team had in front of them coming off the bye. I mean, the bye week was an early Christmas gift to this division, if you will, and to the Giants. And now it just seems to me that they always like to make it tough on themselves, because now you're going to have to start looking at scenarios, and we got to do this. But really, the one scenario is that, and we talked about this yesterday, Lance, is the two games coming up are not NFC opponents. So you can't really make any hay with that in as far as the conference play goes, but you can make hay in the win column. So really you have to – this is a tough one, because you really could – the Giants could have set themselves up to really distinguish themselves from the pack, but it didn't happen. And when you look at the way the game went yesterday, there was just no rhythm. There was no sense of urgency. And, you know, at the last minute they decided that, hey, we can try to get back in this game. And when it comes down to it, the Giants couldn't run the football. They abandoned the run in the second half. I believe they only ran the ball three or four times in the second half, if you can believe that, 13 on the whole day. One thing about football, I don't care what level you play it at, junior football, college, high school, pros, if you can't run the football, and even when you can't run the football, you have to attempt to still run the football. And if you look at what the Redskins did yesterday, they ran the ball 37 times, okay? Where's my statistics here? 37 for 105, 2.8 yards a carry. Now, that's not getting it done. However, they ran it 37 times. They committed themselves to the run. One thing you see that Kirk Cousins does, he's very rhythmatic. He gets in there, and they run the plays. They run play action. They get him out of the pocket a little bit. That's how they set up their offense. Yesterday, the Giants didn't do that by not running the football. You can see how running the football could help your team in the red zone. Yesterday down there, when the interception by Eli, if they just had some resemblance of a running game down there, the play that they intercepted was 3rd and 4, wasn't it, on the 4-yard line?
We
went over this
four.
Last.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there, if you back it up a little bit and you run it on first down or run it on second down, I mean, if the other team knows you're going to throw the ball every time, it's a little easier to cover. It really is. So where does this team go from here? I think you come in, you lick your wounds today because you had a tremendous opportunity to let it go and have to start to have that 24-hour rule, which we hate to hear all about it all the time, but that's how it works. And so we'll see what happens with, you know, going forward. This is a tough one, but the Giants are still in first place. They're tied. I guess they're – are they tied? Or
they are. They're tied. Yeah, both teams 5-6. Redskins, though, have the edge because of the better divisional record.
And the Redskins now are, you know, they're embarking on the rest of their season. They've got to go on the road. You know, they don't play very well. but they have divisional games, and if they can beat these divisional games, Giants are going to have a tough time, you know, really catching them.
Well, and we had talked about that leading into this contest, Jeff, the fact that Washington was in a position where it was such a bottom-heavy schedule. Two games remaining with the Cowboys, a game with the Eagles, and they're in a position where, you know, they could finish up at 4-1, 3-1, excuse me, over the next few games, depending on how they fare against the Dallas Cowboys. And then, you know, obviously they'll have that Eagles game. And if they have the better divisional record, if it does come down to a tiebreaker, that's when obviously that mathematical equation comes into play. With that being said, as you noted,
crazy,
Washington has yet to win a game on the road.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of football still left. But I think from the Giants' perspective, disappointing, because you were in a position where you controlled your own destiny, you're fresh off the bye, guys returned, you were nearing full health with the exception, obviously, the offensive line, and just a sluggish performance overall on offense to not really be into the thick of things until the fourth quarter. It was almost as if they were waiting around till something finally clicked and registered, and it did in the fourth quarter.
They got a touchdown, and you know, the next thing you know, the defense makes a stop, they get another touchdown, and now it's now it comes down to what the Giants' defense has been unable to do all season, and that's stop somebody from making first downs. Patriots game, 4th and 10. This game, 3rd and 5, you get a pass to Jordan Reed for however many yards it took. But, you know, those are plays where you just have to ask your defense to just make a play. Now, the defense did a nice job at the beginning of this game where there was 202 turnovers early in the game, and they got 0 points out of them. The Redskins did. The defense did a nice job there, but in the fourth quarter, when you ask somebody just to step up and make a play, because really the other play is when DRC, I mean, that dropped interception, that's 6 points. That's 7 points when you think about it. That's another big play in the game that you look at and say, wow, if that could have turned into, you know, 6 points there. The blocked field goal by the Giants was a big play in the game. I'm trying to pick out things that we can talk about that are positive.
Well, that was a big play in terms of at least denying the Redskins from capitalizing off the takeaway. And I think, Jeff, if there's one turning point, though, the DRC drop pick six, hey, who knows how momentum's going to change there. But
early
the fact that the third quarter, when the Giants, to me, put together their best offensive drive up until that point, and they're knocking on the door, you mentioned 3rd and goal at the 4, that interception, because think about that. You get a touchdown there. You know, all of a sudden, you're within striking distance. It's a 10-point game, potentially. Who knows how the rest of the game plays out? That, to me, was the killer when you look at the big-picture perspective of this contest.
Yeah, I mean, That was that drive. You're right. That was, you know, and you kind of look towards, you know, at parts of the game where the momentum swings, and the Giants had it. They had the mojo going, and you know, bam, then it's over. And it's hard to get that momentum back when you're on the road in an opposing team's backyard. It really is difficult. I will tell you one thing. I'm gonna throw some kudos to Brad Wing's way. I mean, that the young man has had a great season, and I thought he punted very well yesterday. The couple opportunities there which he put the ball in play where the guys had to make some plays down there, so close to having two balls inside the 5-yard line. And he really did it. He's done a nice job this season. And, you know, a lot of times the punting is overlooked because it's field position. And nowadays with the offenses the way they are, if you have a punter that can do very well putting the ball inside the 10-yard line or even the 5 and extending the field for the opposing team's offenses, it does a lot for your team defensively. And so I thought that he kept the Giants in the game defensively a little bit yesterday with his punting, and I have to give him kudos to that.
Overall, as you mentioned, special teams, defense, and then unfortunately it was the offense that just couldn't capitalize on some of the stops that the defense and the special teams had made. And we go back to, you know, the lack of a presence of a running game, and that's the big disparity between the game for the Redskins yesterday versus the Giants. Kirk Cousins, who had struggles against the Giants in the past, Jeff. 0-3,
bad.
2 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I mean, he could not protect the football against this team. So coming in, you said, hey, if we could get one interception against, if we could take the ball away, that plays right into the hands of the Giants. Well, the reason why he was able to protect the football so well is because the establishment of the running game allowed him to play off of play action.
No.
And that's how they got that DeSean Jackson touchdown. Giants had to anticipate the run. Then DRC gets banged up. Kirk Cousins saw there were some changes and he took advantage of that. But the one thing you want to do with an inexperienced quarterback is make him uncomfortable.
Right.
And the running game enabled Cousins to remain comfortable, and that's why the Giants weren't able to capitalize any takeaways yesterday.
And I think that they've really have a comfort zone at home for the Redskins. You know, they do well at home. But I think it's the emphasis of not turning the football over by the Redskins coming into this game, because they knew the recipe for the Giants to beat the Redskins was turnovers. And this team's leading the National Football League in turnovers. The opposing coach has to present that to the players and say, listen, guys, this is how they win games. They get turnovers. So how are we going to win this game? We're not going to turn the ball over. We're going to be smart with the football. When we run the football, you got to hang on to it. And they've had problems fumbling the football on that end. Kirk Cousins has had problems throwing interceptions. But, you know, Gruden did a nice job of putting a game plan together. And this team, really, the way they matched up yesterday, I believe that the physical part of the game was won by the Redskins. I think they outplayed the Giants' physicality of the game. And I think that the Redskins had a nice game plan coming into this, because, you know, they were going to try to pound the football. And like you said, that's how they keep Kirk Cousins comfortable. And when he gets comfortable, he's a pretty darn good quarterback. He really is. I mean, he had a heck of a game yesterday. I mean, he only had 9 incompletions.
Yeah, protected the football. And those are the things that have worked in his favor throughout the course of the season. And it goes back to when he's at home, he's in his comfort zone. You know, now he's up to 10 touchdowns and no interceptions in the 5 victories for the Washington Redskins, which have all come at home.
And we know what, Lance, when you think about back in the days when RG3 went out and Kirk Cousins came in, and he actually played really well. Remember, they were talking about, oh, is this guy going to replace RG3 now? I mean, the guy can play football. It's just a matter of him getting comfortable. And when you look at the statistics in him in the last 11 games compared to his first 8 games, it's night and day with this guy. It really is. And I think that, you know, just like any person or any player for that matter, the more comfortable you become with the system and the coaches and the expectations and the personnel and reps and experience, the better you become. That's why you got to have a body of work for these players when they evaluate guys. You can't just evaluate them on a couple games. You got to have them for a long time to say, listen, let's give this guy enough time to really see what he can do. And the Redskins are really trying, they're finding that out now, that this guy can play some football as long as he doesn't turn the ball over. But that's with anybody for that matter.
And it had been a merry-go-round, as you mentioned.
Oh,
yeah. It was RG3, Kirk Cousins, RG3. Now they've established one quarterback, so clearly it gives him an opportunity to prove, hey, I can be consistent when obviously the conditions are ideal. Now, on the flip side, Eli Manning, 3 interceptions. Now, you look at the numbers, and if you didn't watch any of this game, 3 interceptions, 3 sacks, oh, maybe Manning had a rough game. However, when you take into consideration the fact, and you know this, Jeff, every interception has its own story.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen in seasons past where a lot of Manning's interceptions are because of deflections, drop passes, and so forth.
Wrong routes.
You know, correct. Yesterday, it was a combination of that.
Of course.
We're talking about the 2 right off the bat early in the game, which fortunately didn't come back to haunt the Giants, deflected balls. It was a tip drill, essentially, for the Redskins.
Well, the first one was definitely a tip drill. The second one was just a high pass to Dwayne Harris that he caught, and on his way down just got shellacked.
Yeah, he took a hard hit from
behind. And, you know, the third one, you know, that was just a bad play down in the red zone. You know, talk about momentum. That was a huge play down there. It really was. And to me, it's accumulation of a couple things there. Number one, route running. Number two, lack of a running game. And three, you know, the throw down there. And Eli, I don't know, someone's going to ask him in his press conference today about it, and I want to hear what he says about the throw. He will not throw Reuben Randall under the bus and tell everybody he ran the wrong route or how he was supposed to run the route. He's going to say it was a bad throw. But we all looked at it, and to me it just seemed that Reuben Randall did not run the right route down there, and that's what happened. So, yeah, I mean, I put one of the maybe 2 of the interceptions on Eli. The second one was a little bit of a high throw, and Dwayne Harris is a tough guy. He comes down with that, but it's certainly right off the bat, when you go on the road and you turn the ball over, your chances of winning the game are pretty slim. Period. That's it.
And 3. Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off, Jeff. I was going to say 3 games this season they've had no takeaways and they've lost the turnover battle. and they wound up losing two of the three games.
Two of the three.
Falcons and the Niners were the two previous games. This is now the third game. So clearly, it goes back to turnover differential, takeaways, giveaways has really determined outcomes of games this season.
And you get lucky sometimes. You get that win where you're not supposed to win, but there's usually a play in there that has something happen. Towards the end of the game, you make a great play. For instance, like in the San Francisco game, Larry Donnell makes it, you know, at the end of the game, catches that end zone pass, game over. But, yeah, turnovers, can't have them. And typically, all season long, the Giants have gotten them on defense. They didn't get any yesterday. And that was the game plan for the Redskins going in. We are not going to let them get turnovers, and we're going to run the football and set up everything else. And they executed it perfectly. The Giants did not execute their game plan. They had to go away from their game plan, I'm sure, because I know that going into this game, all we were talking about was about the Giants running the football against a defense that was not good against the rush.
30th.
They were giving up 50 yards a game in rushing. And to have that type of opportunity and only run the ball 13 times, you know that game plan was just thrown out the window.
Well, that's what happens when you get down 17-0. That's a big reason why they weren't able to pound the football. And clearly, a game of musical chairs at the offensive line. The last thing we want to touch on before we get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513, Jeff Schwartz fractured leg. We'll have an update on his status when Tom Coughlin addresses the media on a conference call. Right now, it's unknown in terms of a timetable. Does he have a shot at returning this season? We'll obviously put the speculation aside, but he's going to miss some time moving forward. And you were also down Weston Richburg, and you were down Justin Pugh. Now, those two are going to return. We know that based on the timetable. But this is what happens when you throw some new guys into the mix, Jeff. You know, it gets back to continuity. And throughout the first half of the season before the bye, you know, the offensive line was healthy, with the exception of Eric Flowers missing that first Redskins game. And that's a big reason why the line protected Eli Manning well. And while the numbers on the ground weren't anything to jump off the page.
And they never have been this
correct,
year.
Correct. But the volume was there in terms of running the football because they were competitive. They were in games. Yesterday, you had the combination of not being able to run the football because the game was lopsided through the first three quarters. And on top of that, you know, Manning took some hits yesterday.
And he has been taking hits over the last three or four weeks. So, I mean, it's been creeping up a little bit. And, you know, I was reading some quotes from Kerrigan this morning, and they knew that there was going to be some – their personnel in there was guys that were going to be backups. And typically there is a distinct, drop-off in production from guys that are backups. They're backups for a reason. And so when they go into the games, and we're not going to like to make excuses, but there is a production in their skill level. So when they're going against guys across from them that are first-team guys – you know, they have the upper hand, and Kerrigan had said that. You know, we knew we were up against some guys that were backups, and we were going to expose them, and they did, and they really did.
And that's a big reason why Kerrigan moves now from the right side to the left side. Usually when he first arrived in the league, he was a one specific side guy, but they said to themselves, we're going to try to take advantage of opportunities on both ends.
Well, I think I look at back what this team did in the first game, and Kerrigan didn't move around so much in the first game. Yeah. He was out there on Newhouse. Well, this game, they moved him around, and he definitely got some pressure and was able to get to the quarterback, and he was very quick off the football. We've tried to address this question all season. It still has not been addressed, and that is the pass rush. Okay, so, I mean, three out of the last 4 weeks, no sacks. Okay, so when that has to be a topic that is of concern. Because when you have a guy like Kirk Cousins, who if you give him time, if he can throw the football, I guess anybody if you get time can throw the football because the Giants do not pressure the quarterback whatsoever. So it puts a lot of pressure on your backside. And, these guys are, you know, they're just as wounded as everybody else. I mean, they're going into the 12th game of the season. These guys are beat up. And the Giants have got to somehow get pressure on the quarterback. Now, will they be able to do it this week against the Jets? The Jets, their offensive line is a lot like the Giants' offensive line. They're banged up. They got some different personnel combinations in there, so it'll be interesting to see if they can get to Fitzpatrick in the game coming up this week.
I will certainly continue to look forward to the Jets as this week progresses, but let's open up the phone lines here. We want to hear from you reflecting on the Redskins game yesterday, a 2014 victory for Washington. So now the Giants and Redskins tied for first place in the NFC East at 5-6. Redskins get the edge as of right now because they have the better divisional record. 201-939-4513. Let's start things up, and we check in with Ken in New Jersey. Ken, what's happening?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Ken.
Tough loss yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay, all things considered.
All right, good. Well, we're going to put one in the plus column then, because we're kind of figuring out how many callers we were going to get that we're going to be just jumping off the edge today.
No, and you know what? My call isn't really about the Giants besides the O-line being shuffled around and that affecting us so much. I feel like it affects us a little more than it affects a lot of other teams. But there's been a lot of inconsistency with these officials. I mean, and I'm not putting the game on that. I'm really not. They played terrible. OBJ was the only guy putting his 100% effort on that field.
Yeah.
And the defense gave the offense every opportunity to get back in it. I mean, but one in particular stuck out at me. There was a pass to Odell Beckham in the first quarter, and the ball was dropped. The ball bounced twice on the ground. He took two steps backward and then took a hit in the back of the head shoulder area.
Yeah.
And there's no flag.
Mm-hmm.
There's no flag. Even the announcer says
yep.
that should be 15 yards. Also, there was also in that first quarter, on the Redskins' first scoring drive when they kicked the field goal, there was a second or third down and like six. And their running back took it up the middle, and he looked like he was going to be stopped dead, but then he broke free straight up the middle. And they showed the replay from the running back's angle, from behind the running back, and you can clearly see one of their offensive linemen with his whole fist in the face mask of, I think, Devon Kennard. No flag. You know, I'm not saying that the refs are terrible, but, I mean, there's a lot of talk every week in a lot of games, and I feel like it's cost the Giants a couple. That OBJ catching the end zone.
When you have head coaches in the National Football League pointing out things that are officiating, you know that something's going on. And now I'm reading today online one of the players for, I don't remember who it was, maybe it was in the Cardinals, but you know just no, it wasn't the Cardinals. Whoever the Cardinals played this week, you know, they had some bad calls in that game, and the players are like, okay, I don't care if I get fined. I just got to get this off my chest. And you just basically just
blew off some steam.
So I think, you know, you guys, a lot of the fans and the announcers and everybody, you look at what's going on, and it's why? I mean, what's happening? A lot of people were like, why can't we have full-time refs? And, you know, what's the solution? I think that at the end of the season there'll be – a lot of discussion about the refereeing and the officiating going on in the National Football League and how they can make changes and make it better.
And, Ken, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in here at 201-939-4513. Let's move along here. We want to try to get to as many people as possible over the course of the program. Andrew is in New Jersey. Andrew, what's happening?
Also, with the officiating or the rules specifically, I would like to see them change the pass interference rule and ease up on that. You know, I know they do it because they want more offense, but we have a lot of offense already. It's a pass-happy league. You know, I don't like the little ticky-tack. You touch the guy just on the shoulder and it's pass interference. But it's scary because I know it was a bad day because Fiegels is just as down as I am on the Giants. Everything you said, I agree with Jeff about the running game. And I had to work in the second half. I listened on the radio, and in the third quarter when Eli got picked off in the end zone, that's when I left. I walked in, and I thought, okay, you know, they're going to lose. And then I came back right after the game ended, and my wife sent a series of texts, like, throw deep, like, you know, yes. And then she said the F word on the last text. But what happened on the last play, because I didn't see the highlight, were they doing some kind of hook and lateral thing? Or?
Yeah, they threw a few
laterals. It was a playground play, really. And Eli got slaughtered on that play because the ball somehow got in Eli's hand. And then Eli turned around and tried to throw it to the, you know, lateral behind. Actually, threw it behind, and he just got lit up, you know.
It was one of those circus-like type of plays, which we see all the time late in games.
Yeah. I mean, it
didn't make it, purposely didn't make it to Giants.com, but she thought, why didn't they throw deep? Or, like Brady in the last Super Bowl against the Giants, he threw into the end zone.
Well,
the
ball was on about the 35-yard line.
Yeah, you
got to
keep that in mind.
Far
I mean,
throw.
You know, Eli Manning's got to throw an 80-yard pass there.
And even if he throws it as far as he can, let's just say it comes down on the 10-yard line, it does no good anyways because the game's over once he, you know. So I think the Hail Mary was a little bit out of the question there because it was just too far away.
Right,
but I will
right,
tell you this. Let me explain something to you.
Someone like at the 10 or 20, they get a chance to run the ball. And I remember like in the first Super Bowl against the Patriots, I thought the Patriots were wrong in the last drive because they were throwing the Hail Mary into Randy Moss into triple coverage instead of taking like a shot over the middle and spiking it and then throwing deep. But anyway, what really killed us in the beginning too was the 14-point flip, I call it. DRC didn't get the interception, the pick six, and then he hurt his knee, and he goes out for one play and they score on that play. So that was bad. That was like a swing of 14 points. And as far as that last drive, I'm not as upset as I was other weeks that they don't run because I guess maybe Coughlin doesn't have the confidence. But I still, when it was first down on the three, I was listening on the radio, like I said, and Bob Papa said, okay, first and goal on the one. And then he said, wait, they spotted it at the three. So that was like a big difference. I think if it was on the one, they would have ran.
Yeah.
But I would have run the ball, and I think it's easier for offensive linemen that are being shuffled and haven't played together to just simply have running plays. And if they couldn't do it, it's not as bad. Like if they lose, and if they lose at the end, say they score there and it's 21-20, then they swap field goals and they ultimately lose, whatever, 24 or 21 or whatever. Like New England lost last night, but it was not as disappointing because it was they didn't do anything wrong. Like I just don't like the play calling, and I think they should have tried to run the ball. And like you said, if you can't, so be it. You lose. It's football. It's not arena football. You know, just run the ball and try to score down there, and then you actually have – side or whatever they would have taken.
Well, keep
lead.
In mind, Andrew, just, it was first and it was first and goal from the nine, number one, when you're talking about that red zone situation. So they threw an incomplete pass to Randall. Then on second and nine, he dumped it off to Rashad Jennings, which is the equivalent of a run, and Jennings picked up 5 yards. So that set up third and goal at the four, and on third and goal at the four, you're going to throw the ball because that's the higher percentage opportunity to get into the end zone.
I hear you. I thought it was first and goal at the three when I was.
No, it was never first and goal at the three. And that was their only red zone opportunity throughout the whole game.
Yep.
They weren't in the red
Coughlin,
zone. Yeah.
He keeps his job. And what's the deal? I'll let you guys answer off air. So, Reuben Randall, he ran the wrong route there. And what's the deal with him? Maybe, you know, are you guys think?
I don't know if it was so much the wrong route as is how the route was run. I think it was the correct route. It's just the angle that it was run at. And I think that the ball was thrown to an area where I believe, in my opinion, that Eli thought that Reuben Randall would have been in. But instead, he went behind the defender. The defender went in front of him, and that's how the ball got picked. So I think it was the right route. I think it was just the way it was run. So that's
And I know there was a play a little bit later on in the game. This was outside of the red zone, Jeff, where Randall – you know, when you look at the replay, it didn't look like he got enough burst coming out. But if you see the replay, he was also held a little,
well, that one,
which
was
prevented
definitely
him
held,
from getting into the right spot to hook up with Eli.
Correct.
There.
That one, then that's not Reuben Randall's fault.
He was great.
But we're not talking about this unless we see 100% effort every single time, okay? And I'm not making a statement here that I don't think that anybody's going to argue with me that that's not the truth. Because I see this sometimes, it just looks like, and whether it's the way he runs routes or whatever. But, you know, I look at Odell Beckham and the way he runs every single play, then that's the way I think everybody should run every single play. So I'm just comparing the two. I'm not comparing their athleticism and their ability, their skill set. I'm comparing the two ways that I believe that routes are supposed to be run and how timing is with the quarterbacks. And, you know, if you're running it in a certain way in practice, in a certain speed in practice, it should be run the same way in the game because then there's no discrepancy. I'll give you an example. I had a coach that told me when I was punting that in the game, if you actually in practice, you practice at one speed, okay? And that was the get-off time that we call it. You know, by the time the ball snapped, I catch it and kick it. If you practice the same speed all the time, when you get in the game, you don't ever have to hurry up or take your time. So when you're backed up in the end zone and they're bringing nine guys, there's no reason for you to hurry up because you practice at one speed. And that's the timing thing. Okay, so I know if you're going to probably hard to follow me here, but I'm saying if you practice one way and one speed in practice, and when you get in the game, you do it the same way. You never have to speed up or slow down. In running routes, if you run the routes the same way that every single time, the quarterback knows where you're going to be at the same time every time he throws the ball. And I know that I look with Odell Beckham, the way he runs routes, and you look at the way that he catches footballs and Eli throws to him. Why do you think Eli's throwing the ball to Odell Beckham? Number one, he's a huge game. He's a playmaker. Number two, I think he runs excellent, excellent routes, and he knows where he's going to be.
And he has faith that Odell's going to win those individual battles,
and he's
meaning those 50-50
fight for the
balls.
He's going to fight for the football.
That's why he'll take his shots down the field. I mean, 18 targets yesterday for Odell Beckham. A big difference in terms of Beckham versus the rest of the receiving corps. And that was also a noticeable difference in terms of the offensive flow, Jeff. You know, in games past, we've been talking about Dwayne Harris making plays, Randall making plays specifically in that last Washington game, Shane Vereen. If you look at how things were spread out the other day, you know, it was Beckham. And then after that, a significant drop-off, just in terms of the receptions and the targets.
And
that is something that hadn't been apparent in the last few games because the Giants, their offensive philosophy this season.
They spread it around.
Correct. We're going to spread the wealth. It's not going to be one guy has to do the heavy lifting. This season it was more, we're going to take what the defense gives you. Yesterday it was more of, you know, Beckham needs to do a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah, and you kind of sit there and wonder, you know, why? And you know, was it the offensive line? Was it the protection? Was it the way they were covering? A lot of different things that we can't get into that obviously they know what it is. So
let's head back to the phone lines.
Joe is
in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's happening?
Hey, hi, guys.
Hello, Joe.
Happy Thanksgiving, yes.
Same to you.
Let's say here, Jeff, I'm going to continue on what you said at first where you said Merry Christmas, the Giants says to the,
boy, did
to,
they.
To the East there. But I want to add on Happy New Year's and prosperity to you for the New Year's, too.
Yeah. Well,
that's what they're saying to them, bringing the Eagles were down, the Cowboys were down, but now we're looking, we're only a game, and Dallas is only two behind. So that's what I want to say there. Now, starting off with the game here, the defense played great. The offense coming out, you can understand some of them tip balls and that Eli threw. But as you were talking there, and I can understand the offensive line being shuffled in and out, troubles there. But it's the timing. Coming off a bye week with the Giants, you know, running them routes, and you could see on TV, you know, after them first couple series there, okay, tip balls. But then the next couple series, they had chances, and just the timing was off so bad, it just seemed. How could you be – it just can't understand that, you know what I mean? Where we, you know, they really put the defense out there, you know, struggling. They did really well. That I don't understand. I remember, like, the 49ers. I don't know if the Giants script their plays, know what they're going to run at first. You know what they're doing? Do they? They should – them plays should be right on timing, like you said, especially coming off a bye week because it wasn't the pass protection. It was the throwing and the timing on them.
Well, Joe, in fairness, before we let you continue, if you go back to that first drive – prior to that interception, Jeff, and we spoke about this yesterday.
Yeah, they were driving.
They were moving.
Yeah.
I mean, the timing was there, Joe. It was then, once all of a sudden that interception takes place, it sort of took the life out of this offense.
It's the mentality, and all of a sudden it's like it's like something happens chemically in the brain there. But
okay, then continuing on, what really got me is after, you know, DRC got hurt, you knew right away Jackson, he wasn't doing nothing. You know, doesn't Collins watch it? Doesn't he know his speed? You know what I mean? He not only flew back, I forget who was covering him, but he flew but past him.
Well, it was
J-Ron
Hosley and Brandon Merriweather. That
right.
was the play.
I mean, Merriweather got to know he got to get back there. That was the one big play there. I mean, come on.
Right?
What I want the Giants to do, draft somebody. I thought maybe that Hunt could be like that player, like that. Somebody with speed. That's all you need, because Beckham's going to be there, and he's going to be great. We need somebody on the other side like that, that maybe have another safety force him over just so he can have speed, and they have to honor that with a safety like that. That will open it up for the Giants. So I hope next year, because I'm not sure about Randall, the way he's playing, you know, if they're going to re-sign him or not. But you got somebody with speed to keep them honest. That's all you need. And maybe a tight end over the middle there, and it's going to be great going for the Giants. Then the last thing I want to complain about is the defense at the end of the game there, where Reed, he just had such an open where it was the last drive there. He just left him run right off the line, and you were talking last week. It's always wide open right up the center, super highway, and that's all it was. I mean, it was ridiculous. Them two plays, defense killed us. So I guess that's all with the vet and whatever. Welcome back, NFC East, So
yep.
All right, Joe.
Taking my
appreciate
call.
The phone
Bye.
Call.
Thank
thanks
you, Joe.
So we want to remind fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. And the last point that Joe brought up, Jeff, relates to what we were talking about after the Patriots game, where the defense was on the field, an opportunity to go back to what Coughlin always says, finish the game, close out the game. Collins has an opportunity to hold on to the interception. Then it's 4th and 10, an opportunity to keep New England off the field.
Yeah.
Same thing with Washington. Okay, you're down in this circumstance, so you need the ball back. You want to give your offense a little bit more time, but there's an opportunity there. 3rd and 5 at the Washington 28. He hits Jordan Reed for 20 yards. And then let's not also forget 2nd and 4. A few plays later, you have Alfred Morris picking up 7 yards to pick up another first down. This helps eat up those Giants timeouts.
Yep.
So it goes back to, the defense in crunch time, coming up with those critical stops to at least either seal a game or give the offense more of an opportunity on the field.
More of an opportunity on the field and more time on the field. Because, those stops there, when they make those first downs with no timeouts left, they're running.
That clock is ticking along.
Clock and just going. And I wanted to mention it a little bit earlier when we were talking about that play at the end of the game and the Hail Mary. Dwayne Harris catches the ball on that punt in 1 yard in the end zone. I mean, he's a smart player, but he's got to just let that go. They get the ball at the 20-yard line instead of,
Well, they got it at the 16.
At the 16, was it?
That's where they got
it. All right. So, but they give him a little more time left. I don't know how many seconds it was. All right. I didn't realize it was up to the 16. 4 more yards isn't going to make a difference there.
Well, the only reason – but you bring up a fair point, Jeff. The only reason, remember, they got it at the 16, it's fair to at least point this out, is because the Redskins were called for a penalty.
Oh, so
off of that punt.
Today.
So that was essentially why. But if that penalty doesn't occur, your point is right in terms of you could have started at the 20 versus taking
and,
the chances.
And add about
five.
8 seconds onto the clock a little bit more. So it would have been maybe one more play down there, because that's what it takes, 7 seconds to run a play, basically. So instead of it, being lateral this, you had another 8 seconds that you could have at least maybe had thrown at the previous play down across the, maybe at the 50 and then had a Hail Mary from there. But it's all speculation at this point.
Well, and plus, I know a caller earlier brought up the fact about, maybe they should have thrown it deep. They did not lose this game because of that last possession.
No.
Okay? I mean, that to me is very simplistic in terms of seeing this game.
No.
This game came down to, as we mentioned.
Yeah, we're splitting hairs there.
Yeah,
really.
The issues with respect to the running game, the takeaways, the missed opportunities in the red zone, a variety of different factors that built up to that point. Let's head back to the phone lines. Jeff is in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's happening?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Well, hey, we're hanging in there for a Monday.
Okay, yeah, Mondays are kind of tough, and I'm not feeling too very positive today as well. So, I've seen that what happened yesterday. I've seen the rerun of that movie about 100 times over the years following.
It doesn't surprise you, does it? That's a good way to put it. The rewind. Yeah, we've seen it. It's just
to me, the team. I mean, first of all, I couldn't even watch the game yesterday. I had to listen to it on a computer with Bob Popper and Kyle Banks, which was okay. But
it's not a bad thing, the way you sounded.
No,
Jeff.
It's not.
It's never a bad thing.
I mean, I was supposed to have it, and then they switched it off. Who the hell wants to watch Cincinnati and Los Angeles,
St. Louis,
and
yeah.
New England? Nobody I know. But it just seemed to me that, the guys, the team just, I don't think the coach had the guys ready to go yesterday. I really don't. And, I hate saying this, and I put off this comment as long as I can. And I just, I just think it's time that the winds of change stop blowing at the Meadowlands. And at the end of the season, I think Coach has to retire, and we need to get some new blood in there. And I'm not putting it all on him. I mean, it's the GM's responsible. There's plenty of blame to go around, but as we all know, guys, everything in life changes, and I just think it's time for a change. And, you know, I just hope we won't be headed into some kind of a black hole for many years after that. But I'm just so very disappointed. It really hurts me. I've been following this team since the late 60s, mid to late 60s, and I've always been an avid fan. And it just really bothers me, and I'm sorry to say what I said, but I just think that the change has to come. And we'll just leave it at that, and I'll try and get through next week. So you guys have a good day.
All right, Jeff. Hang in there. Keep your head up.
Hang in there. A lot of football left still, and both teams are tied for first place in the division.
There is a lot of football left. We've been saying it week in and week out about this division. There's no consistency to it. It's going to be this way for the next 5 weeks. It's just the way it's going to happen. And, you know, who comes out on the winning end of this, it's going to be ugly. I really think it is. I don't think it's going to be
unpredictable.
I don't think it's really going to be anything pretty that someone's going to write home about at the end of the season saying, wow, we won the NFC East. Woohoo! Yeah, 7-9, that a baby, you know, or 8-8. So, and I was telling you this yesterday, in all sincerity, and we know what the Giants have done. I've been on one of the teams that actually did it, that go to the playoffs and you don't think anything's going to happen. And next thing you know, this team just runs through and wins a Super Bowl. This team has got a lot of growing up and things to do before we get to that situation. But, you know, who any of these teams coming out of the NFC East to get into the playoffs, are you expecting much to happen? I mean, they're really, these teams, are. It's one of the worst divisions in the league. And the way that this division plays week in and week out, for someone to step up and all of a sudden become ultra consistent, I haven't seen it yet. I don't think I'm going to see it. I don't think you're going to see it. But the bottom line is we're hoping that maybe at the end it is that one team, the Giants, that get. And we talked about this yesterday, Lance. We'd like to see one, you know, the Giants go on a little bit of a run, win a couple games in a row. Because they've been lost, win.
It's alternated. You
know, it's been very sporadic. Get on a little bit of run, get a little confidence going, get some guys back, get the health of the team back, the mindset right. Then you know, never know what's going to happen. But if you continue to lose a game, win a game, lose a game, win a game, it becomes very difficult to predict what's going to happen.
Yeah, if you go back to the early stages of the season, 0-2, you win 3 in a row, then you alternate wins and losses in the last 5, and now you have back-to-back losses, and then take into consideration that 5 of the 6 losses obviously were decided between 6 points or less. So a lot of close games, a lot of nail-biters, but you're right, you got to end that trend, Jeff, if you want to try to pull away and solidify this division, and that's what remains to be seen. They still have opportunities within the division. They're going to be tested against two of the top teams in the NFC in Minnesota and Carolina. The next two games are not in the conference, but you know, as you mentioned, Jeff, when you're talking about potentially this division coming down to an 8-8 record or a 9-7 record or a tiebreaker, you know, these games are just as important, even though they may not add up into that mathematical equation with common NFC opponents and so forth. You still don't have a huge margin for error.
No, you
at
don't.
This stage.
You have to win some of these games, and like we had mentioned this yesterday, when you can see that Lance and I talk a lot on Sundays in the studio.
Yes.
But maybe this team or any of this team, for this matter, coming out of this division, you know, gets on a little bit of a roll and they go up against maybe like a team like Atlanta or somebody that, you know, it's a winnable game.
Well, it's all about matchups in the postseason.
Absolutely.
The record is meaningless. It's all about matchups.
And so, you know, it can happen. But in the meantime, you know, just check this one off and just get out of here and come back Wednesday. And you know, as many years as I played in the National Football League, I had many Mondays like this. Mondays even when I was with the Giants and coming in here. And I will tell you that this building, it takes on the personality of the team, because when the team loses, man, it's a sad day around this facility. People are walking around like it's the end of the world. And you know, I've always been a glasses half full kind of guy, and I think you guys got to move on and you got to persevere. And I think that, you know, every one of the guys in the team have to think that way, and they have to say, okay, you know what? Yeah, we really screwed up here, And it's almost, if you have anybody has children, you got to just, you got to tell them, listen, you know, learn from your mistake here. Don't ever do this again. Or I'm grounding you to the rest of your life.
Well, and you don't have time to really worry about a
you
game like that, because you got the Jets now on the horizon, who are also in the postseason hunt, and it's a rivalry pride game, too.
Yeah.
With two teams that call MetLife Stadium home.
It's the real life Met Bowl. You know, I mean, this is the for real Snoopy Bowl, I guess. I don't know.
And the last time these teams played in the regular season, it was that much more important, too, in terms of both teams fighting for their playoff lives
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. And I think that this is a huge game for both these teams. And, you know, the Jets are a little bit of a different story. I think they're kind of from the outside looking in right now. I don't even think they're in the – or even close to –
They're right on the
cusp of it. But the Giants certainly are in the mix of things here. They're in first place, and a half a game separates them. So they got to – Listen, it's by no means because of what happened yesterday. Does this mean that the season is over for these guys? You got to keep going, man. You got a chance to win the NFC East with five games left.
Let's keep going to the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. Alongside Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadows. So glad you could join us for Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, recapping the Redskins' 2014 win over the Giants. Big Ed is in Maryland. Big Ed, what's happening?
Oh, Big Ed, this is one guy that can get fired up now. I know, Big Ed.
Let's see how he sounds here on a Monday morning.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay, look. First of all, Jeff said it earlier. Feeks, he was right on it, man. The history of the Giants is very simple. If we run the ball, we win championships. Nope. We don't run the ball, we don't win championships. I don't know what in the world is going on. I'm so sick of the BS strategy that's been going on. When in the world do you think you're going to throw the ball 40, 50 times and think you're going to win? This may be a pass-happy league and a pass-happy season and all that craziness, but we need to get back to the strategy of winning football games.
Big Ed, I don't mean to cut you off.
Always won football games, even with Joe Morris, even with Rodney Hampton. Go all the way back to right now to come on in to say the same thing again. If you do not run the ball, you can't win the game.
Well, Big Ed, you brought up a good point, Big Ed. He's not
going
to let me get a word in here. Big Ed, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'll let you continue. I wanted to throw out a number that reflects on what you're talking about when you said that the quarterback throws 50-some-odd times. Actually, in Giants history, when a quarterback throws at least 50 passes, the Giants are 2-22. So, I mean, that nails it right on the head. That you got to be able to have balance and run the football.
Wow.
That is just all out sick. That is just that's just despicable. That's so despicable.
Yeah.
I tell you, man. Look, guys. Lance, Jeff, Big Ed here, fellas, Giant Nation. We all know what needs to be done here. You want to win out? Win out. You want to win it all? Go win it all. Don't talk about it. You might as well go and do it. That's just it. What else is there? You run the ball, the defense can't keep saving us. Defense did their job yesterday. Oh, my gosh, they were awesome. Only two touchdowns and two field goals. That's what they're supposed to do.
Then they block
the one. The offense has to bring it up.
Yep.
Offense don't do it, we can't win the games.
Listen, the offense had its hand in losing the game yesterday. The defense, they played, you know, they did well enough to win. They held the team to 20 points. By the way, I know just from all of our research that the Redskins, when they didn't score more than 20 points or 21 points, their record was not good. So, you know, the defense did their job holding those guys to the amount of points they needed. It's just the first half, Big Ed. Seven possessions, two interceptions, five punts. That was the drive charge.
And you know what? Make it be understood. That wasn't even Elon's fault. Both of those interceptions wasn't his fault. Shane pulled the court his pass. And then the one for Ruben Randle, that was Eli's fault.
Right.
The one, now, come on.
We were talking about that earlier.
Inside the 10-yard line, you have a thoroughbred with Rashad Jennings, and you won't even run the ball. Mm. I mean, what else are we – how do you expect to win? Even the other game, we had the Patriots beat. Over 2 minutes ago, what do? We need to run the ball. If we run the ball, we can win the game.
Well, but Big Ed, on the flip side, and I agree with your point about balance is important. The numbers show that. The trends show that. But in fairness, remember, it was a similar circumstance. Your defense is on the field, and you have opportunities to close out that game, and you can say the same thing with the Washington game. So, you know, while it's easy to say, hey, if they were to run the football in the red zone, I still think you had a defensive opportunity to come in and close out the game as well. You can certainly argue it from both sides.
Yeah, you know, Lance, that comes down to straight strategy. That just comes down to strategy. Are you going to run it or are you going to throw it? And that's the main thing. It just has to come down to. You have to decide. But what you notice, every game that we've won this year, guess what? Balance. More running, just the same amount as passing, and we win our games. Every time we lopside ourselves out, we got to commit to the run. We got four good running backs. Run the ball. You got to run it. Well, it sets up the pass.
You are correct.
It sets up the deep ball.
The common denominator for every NFL football team is being able to run the football, because you have to have balance, and you have to be – you cannot be predictable, because the teams in the National Football League, they will game plan you to death if they know what you're doing. It's over.
Yeah.
All right, Big Ed.
That's where the audibles come in, because I've been thinking of it too, Jeff. This is another thing I wanted to say too. I'm going to be quick about this one.
Okay.
Let Eli run the game. I know you got coaches on the sideline, but you're the coach on the field. Let him run the game as he sees fit. That's how we win the game. He has to stay on top of the game like that, because he's running the game from the field. Let the coaches coach, give him the advice he needs to know, but let him run the plays. Let him call what he sees. I mean, that play to Odell with the great catch, that was perfect. That's a perfect example. Let him call it from the field from what he sees. He sees what's going on. Let him call it. He's a winning quarterback. He will win for us again, but you got to let him run the game.
All right, Big Ed, appreciate the phone call. And they do give him flexibility, Jeff, within the offense. I mean, he's called audibles. I don't think that was an issue at all yesterday.
I don't know what the percentage of it is, but it's pretty high that Eli is running. You know, a lot of times you don't even have a play that comes in. It's basically it's a read play. You get up and you just read the coverage, and then there's a set of plays that Eli knows if they're in this coverage and we're in this down and distance, we're going to run these plays. And you go over that in the meeting rooms. The guys are on the same page. They know it. They know it. They're reading the defense. They're doing the same thing as Eli's doing, so they know what play's coming. Eli's not the only one in the league that does this. That's just the way it is around the whole National Football League. That's why the quarterback position is so difficult to play, because they really are a coach on the field. They're offensive coordinators on the field.
We're going to stay in Maryland. From Big Ed, we go to Len. Len, what's happening?
Hi, Len.
Hey, guys. Hey, how you doing, guys?
How we doing, Len?
Oh, we're doing okay.
A disappointing Monday morning, but what are you going to do when we lost the game? The last time we had the Jets as a home game was 8 years ago, and I'm looking forward to one Sunday.
I must have been in that game. I was in that game. Trying to remember.
Yes,
you
were.
2007.
Yeah, that was.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. And by the way, hey Jeff, appreciate your game experience perspective that you bring to the show.
Oh well, thank you. That's what
it really is refreshing.
Well, I appreciate
that 2-22 stat that you. I think it was 2-22 when we throw more than 50 passes.
That's Lance's stat.
That's absolutely staggering.
Yeah, it is staggering. I saw that this morning, and I was even taken back. And what's also coincidental, Len, a part of that statistic, one of those two wins came this season, believe it or not. In the San Francisco game, Eli threw over 50 pass attempts, and they actually won that game. So you have one win and one loss this season.
Seconds of the game.
Correct, too. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there are some fluky situations, but, 2-22, that jumps off the page.
Don't you wish sometimes that you would have the ball boy come down and put a little sticky on one of the offensive coordinators? Hey, by the way.
Reminder.
Just a reminder, this statistic.
These stats don't really go in our favor. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, couple of things. You know, I'm having trouble getting my hands around this. We weren't ready for the game. We took them lightly. We sleepwalked through the game. I'm having trouble. I can't get my hands around that. And it just seems to me if that's really – it's almost like a – players are using it as an excuse.
Can I just comment on that real quick?
It seems to me if that's the case, guys, we got the wrong mix on this team.
Well,
the wrong 53 guys, Jeff.
Let me comment on that, because I've played in a lot of games, and I played in enough to know this, is that every game is different. Every game on the road is different than the game at home. And the fans and the public and everybody always expect that because it's a bye week, and now I'm just telling you, this is what people are thinking, that, you know, we're How can we not be prepared? You have 53 guys on a team with 53 human beings, the way that they think, okay? And this is where I believe that when you have leaders on your football team, this is where it goes. When you're in there at halftime and you're getting I'm not saying blown out, but from the way that the first half went, that offense was getting blown out because they had nothing going on. Okay?
Yeah.
That's when the coaches can say all they want and they can get up there and they can write things on the board and we gotta do this and we gotta do that guy. Well, at that point in time, if I'm one of the leaders, I wait for those coaches to get the heck out of the locker room and I say, okay, guys, listen, enough of that. Now, let's talk about us. What are we doing to win this football game? And look at what's at stake here, and let's wake up. So it comes back to me for leadership.
There's nothing like senior leadership, Jeff.
No, there's nothing like it.
On a college team, you want to see the teams that are going to win the bowl games? Senior leadership, Jeff.
Yes.
Senior leadership. You're absolutely right. I agree with you.
So that's my answer to that.
You know, what I would have preferred to see yesterday, Shane Vereen, catch the damn ball, will you? Catch that ball.
Yeah.
Cromartie, I mean, these are – your stars have to make plays. Cromartie, hang on to that ball and run it back for a touchdown. Vereen, catch that ball. Harris, hang on to that ball. You know, I don't know if Randall cut it short or whether it was just a bad pass from Eli. I agree. Eli's not going to throw anybody under the bus. Somehow, we got to connect on that play, guys. Somehow, we got to connect on that play. I mean, the stars have to make plays.
They do.
The guys have to make. I think we got here's what bothered me the most about yesterday's game, and I was there. Not that anybody who watched it on television couldn't tell what
there
I
was
saw.
A lot of Giants fans there.
I'm not telling you. Yes, there were. There were a lot of Giants fans. Look, how many times did the Redskins go? I've never heard it announced so much. Tackle eligible plays. Number 68, eligible. Number 68. They must have done that 15 times. That was part of the game plan. We're going to pound them.
Yeah.
We're going to pound them. And they're not getting to our quarterback. And we're going to get to this. We're going to pound them from the defensive side of the ball. We got out physical yesterday, and that's the second straight division.
It looks like we may have lost Len in terms of his reflection on today's game. But certainly he's amped up, as he always is, and he was at the game, so he saw it firsthand. And he
makes a point that you have to agree with him, is that, and this is in any game, that you, any close games or games that you have a chance to win, your stars, your big players, they need to step up and make plays. For instance, I can't tell you how big of a play a sack is in a game like this. Okay, how a sack can turn around the momentum of a football game. Can you imagine just getting a sack, strip, fumble out of Kirk Cousins deep in their own territory and the Giants turning it over and then going in and scoring?
Yeah.
Just those types of plays, like out of JPP or one of your big players. A pick six by DRC. Those are the types of plays that put you over the top to win football games. And when you're not making those types of plays, you get into games like this, you're not going to win them. You're not going
to
win.
A stop on third and five to prevent
Jordan
Reed.
A stop on third and five.
Or another thing I'll throw out, you know, Bromley, when he was called for the roughing the passer, it didn't come back to bite them because Washington ultimately had to punt. But things like that, it adds up.
Yes.
And it comes back to haunt you at times, depending on how your execution is down the stretch.
There's no question. And again, you know, Tom Coughlin always preaches that penalties cost you games. They may not cost you a game there or here, but they eventually do cost you games. They really do. And you look at DeMontre Moore earlier in the season, two of those cost you games. Those penalties he had, extended drives for the Cowboys, that Cowboy game. And it's just those games, that's how penalties cost you games. And but big plays win you games. And that's when you need big plays out of your players. And if you can get them, you look at the pass and the Giants guys, you know, like Strahan and some of my teammates in the back, guys that have made plays in big games. Big key interceptions or sack strip fumbles or even just big stops on the goal line. In fact, the Giants at 07, we had a huge goal line stand in Washington that really turned around our season. You know, the Giants did have one of those goal line stands this year in Buffalo. And, you know, those types of things can really catapult your team. But Giants just didn't have them yesterday. I mean, Odell Beckham made one heck of a play. That's a star making a play. But it just wasn't enough.
Going above the X's and O's.
Absolutely.
That term all the time.
Yes.
Let's try to squeeze in another call here before we wrap things up. Kevin is in Connecticut. Kevin, what's happening?
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Doing well, Kevin. What do you got for us?
I just want to talk a little bit about Reuben Randle, and I'm pretty much disgusted with the guy. I think he's, like you said earlier, he's just half running routes, and he's been doing that seems like forever. And I was wondering, could Hakeem Nicks eventually kind of slide into his spot? I mean, the guy's 27 years old. Everybody's talking like his career's over. I mean, he's younger than Victor Cruz.
Yeah. Well, I think that, and again, a lot of times what you hear from me is just my opinion. There's no fact behind it. But, you know, when Victor Cruz went on IR, you know, we have roster spots that open up, and you bring in a Hakeem Nicks. You know, what's, you know, we're trying to figure this out. Where all of a sudden is he in the mix? You know, he got put in that game yesterday at certain times when Reuben Randle got benched. Here comes Hakeem Nicks. So, you know, listen, if I'm the coach and these are the things that I see my players not doing what I want you to do, you're out of the game. You're not playing right for me. And I'm going to get somebody else that's going to give me the effort that I want out of a coach and staff. You're going to have to do it this way. And if you're not, you're going to have somebody else that's going to replace you. And that's just not about Reuben Randle or anybody. That's the whole team, in my opinion. If you got an offensive guard that's not playing, you're out. That's just the way the National Football League works. And I will tell you this. I only played 22 years in the National Football League
just 22.
Because I was afraid of losing my job. I really was.
Right.
And well, so you got to have that attitude.
The type of pressure, because it seems like I've been watching him for years, even when he was coming off the bench and getting spots in the game, and he never seemed like he was much of anything. I mean, he catches it when he's wide open. Like even that touchdown yesterday, he should have easily got that end zone. He's like barely making it. Somebody's actually have a chance to tackle him at the goal line, and it's like.
But
what
that was a big play out of him, and you know that's the type of effort you want to see out of him every single time. And you know he scored on that fourth. That's a huge play in the game, 4th and 16. So yeah, you know you kind of scratch your head sometimes. And you know he had a great game against the Redskins the first go around this year. And I was thinking, and we were talking about him yesterday about having I had him, you know, one of my guys that was going to come out and play a big game because the Redskins pay attention to everybody else. But going into the season, when we thought that Victor Cruz was going to be healthy and that we thought that we were going to have Odell Beckham and Reuben Randle was going to be the guy this year. Remember, we were all talking who's going to cover Reuben Randle, you know? So,
yeah. All right, guys. I just wanted
to thank you, Kevin.
And thanks, you guys. Doing a
all right, Kevin.
Job.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much for tuning in. Appreciate the phone call. Consistency. That's what it comes down to.
That's the
and for anybody on this team.
The
it's
National
all about
Football League is all about consistency because if you're not consistent, you don't have a job. That's just the way it works. This is a business. This is this is the top level of this sport. And when you get on an NFL roster, if you expect to stay on it, then you need to be consistent and you have to be able to do what the team wants you to do every single time. And eventually, if you're not doing that type of work or effort, it's gone. You're out. They're not going to put up with it anymore.
Well, speaking of consistency and 22 years of football experience, I went back into the archives before we close up shop here. So the last time the Giants hosted the Jets, you were right. You were in that game.
Yes.
Now, do you remember your performance? I didn't expect that.
I had no idea.
So I looked it up. 5 punts for 234 yards. You had one inside the 20. Your longest one was 60. So you saw a lot of activity in that game. It was a 35-24 victory, by the way, for the Giants in 2007.
Look at Fiegel's. 5 punts, 46-8 average, 1 touchback, 1 inside the 20, long of 60. I have no idea. I remember.
Can't even remember anything.
Nope, but did we win? We won.
Yeah, you won. Won by 11.
Okay, there you go. Listen, 352 games I played in. I have a hard time remembering.
Yeah,
one
it's
or
understandable.
Two of them.
I mean, listen, I would take you up a notch here there in terms of the archives if you remember that game.
I can remember.
But you were
my
right
first,
though. You were in that game. That's
I can
the
remember my
remember.
First and my last and Super Bowl. Those are the three definitely ones that I remember. But they all kind of run together, you know.
Understandable. A lot of mileage.
I do the same thing every game.
Yes, well,
I line up 15
they
yards
together.
Back, catch and kick it. I mean, how much more is there to it? I mean,
it's
you
a
know.
Routine. You know, yeah. Second nature. Yes.
I do remember that. I do remember the ones that I got hit on,
that
I've gotten
remember,
blown
yes.
up on. You know, and those kind of things.
They may have left them.
Jeremiah Trotter, Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, I remember that game.
We've seen those YouTube clips behind closed doors. I can attest to that. Yes,
those,
indeed.
I still feel that in my jaw every once in a while.
Oh boy. Well, we don't want to bring up too bad memories. No. Well, with that being said, do appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets over the course of the last 60 minutes as the Giants will now turn the page, look forward to a game against the Jets here at MetLife Stadium on Sunday. We will preview that game starting tomorrow and moving forward the rest of the week here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, which comes to you each and every weekday at noon Eastern. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got it on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.